So this week we're going to talk about Ruach HaKodesh. What is Ruach HaKodesh? So I'll be honest, I can't tell you because I personally have never had, I don't remember having Ruach HaKodesh, but I can tell you what our holy sages have said about it. So Ruach HaKodesh is basically like a smaller version of prophecy. Prophecy is when God directly speaks to you, or indirectly speaks to you. Ruach HaKodesh is when you have a certain intuition, a certain deep, like, understanding of what you need to do, but it's certainly not as clear as Nevuah. It's like a mini Nevuah, okay? Now, is Ruach HaKodesh something that we can get to? Is Ruach HaKodesh something that is possible to attain? So there's a famous book called The Mesilas Yesharim. Have you guys heard of it?
Yeah,
it's a great book. It's a Musar Sefer. What a lot of people don't realize is actually the book is based on a Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. And in this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, Pinchas ben Yair says, basically, if you do Torah, learn Torah well, then you will get Zahirus. Then you do Zrizus. Then that'll lead to Zahirus, which is being careful. And then if you do Zahirus, it'll lead to Zrizus. And then you do Zrizus, you do Nikias, and on and on and on. And the last level, the second to last level, is Ruach HaKodesh. If you do all these things, then you can get a divine spirit upon you. And then after that, you can do Tchiyat Tameitim, which actually make people alive. These are very, very high spiritual levels. But the point I'm trying to say is that such a thing is possible. You just need to spiritually refine yourself to the point that these things happen. And so that's why we do many, many, many traditions and stories about great rabbis who did have Ruach HaKodesh. But it's something that you have to work extremely hard and have a lot of discipline in order to get there. Okay? That's the Mishnah. There's another Midrash that will prove this point. It says, in Tanit Ve'Elihu, any wise man in Israel who has true words of Torah and screams over the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the honor of Israel all his days and desires and yearns over the glory of Jerusalem and on the Beit HaMikdash and on the salvation that should sprout quickly in our days and on the gathering of our exiles, immediately Ruach HaKodesh falls in his midst. So again, we have another source indicating that Ruach HaKodesh is possible, but you just need to really be a holy, holy tzaddik in order to get there. Everybody with me? Okay, so now what I'd like to do is demonstrate a few tzaddikim who didn't live a million years ago, but actually in our generation, some of these people, who clearly seem to have Ruach HaKodesh, okay? And I'm hoping to bring as many cases as you can bear until you're like, okay, I get it. This isn't just one or two random stories that could have been made up by somebody. But like, if there's this many stories about it by this many reliable people, maybe there's actually some truth to this. Everybody with me? That's the game plan. Okay. We're going to just start with one story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe because it demonstrates a little bit what Ruach HaKodesh is. So it's a very famous story. True story. Rav Menachem Schneerson, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was very friendly with Ariel Sharon. As you guys know, probably Ariel Sharon was one of the greatest generals in all of Israeli history. And he also eventually became the prime minister. And very, very controversial figure. And he befriended Lubavitcher Rebbe. How did that happen? Basically, it was a tragedy in his family. His son accidentally borrowed a gun and shot himself, basically, and he was in mourning, and he didn't know what to do, Ariel Sharon, and they said, write a letter to the Rebbe, to Lubavitcher Rebbe. They said, what do I have to do with Lubavitcher Rebbe? The Rebbe cares about everyone, everyone in Am Yisrael. So the Sharon ended up writing this whole letter, and he ended up getting a chiddus, a meeting with the Rebbe. In this chiddus, he was completely blown away, because what do you expect when you go to a Hasidic Rebbe? The Rebbe is going to say some story, a Hasidic story, some Torahs. Right away, the Lubavitcher Rebbe started asking about military issues. He said, in this war, in this operation, you went and made this decision. You went left. Why didn't you go right? And the guy's like, what are you talking about? And then Lubavitcher Rebbe starts like drawing a whole picture, a map of how he should have attacked this place and that. And they ended up having an hour-long discussion of all these military inyanim. Lubavitcher Rebbe was known to know all the ins and outs of the Knesset, which parties are fighting with who, and all the... He knew a crazy amount of Israeli politics and stuff like this, even though all he was doing was learning Torah all day. So that itself is pretty crazy. So they became friends, and whenever Ariel Sharon, who was one of the big generals, would come to America, he would go and visit the Lubavitcher Rebbe.
So one particular time, they're up late at night discussing military stuff. And Sharon's getting really nervous because he sees that the clock's ticking and he's got a flight back to Israel very soon. So the Rebbe keeps like pushing it off and pushing it off. And so Sharon's finally like, Rebbe, I'm gonna miss my flight. I got to go. And the Rebbe's just like, don't worry about it. Just miss the flight. And, you know, Sharon's smart enough at that point to know when the Rebbe says something, you don't argue with the Rebbe. So he keeps smoothing and he takes the next flight. That flight that Sharon was going to take ended up being kidnapped by, I'm trying to remember. It wasn't Uganda. It was something for Palestine. One of these groups, they ended up taking over the plane and looking for someone chashif. It turns out who were they looking for? Ariel Sharon. But Baruch Hashem, the Rebbe, saved, this is in 1968 when this story happened, the Rebbe saved Ariel Sharon's life by telling him not to go on that flight. Now, afterwards, someone had the chutzpah to ask the Rebbe, if you knew that there was something that was going to happen, what's the obvious question then? Why didn't you tell the Israeli authorities, right? The Baruch Rebbe, you have this information, tell somebody, right? So this is why I wanted to tell you a story, besides for the fact that it's a really cool story. What the Rebbe explained was, I didn't know that there was going to be a hijacking, but I had a deep intuition that Sharon shouldn't go on that plane. And that's why. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, Ruach HaKodesh doesn't mean you know everything. Right? You're not God. And it's still a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that God gives you when he chooses to give it to you. It's not like a button you push. But it doesn't mean that you have a certain, very strong intuition and you know things. If you've purified your body to the extent that the Lubavitch Rebbe did. Yeah? Now, there are literally hundreds. I have a few books myself. There's actually all these amazing, cool YouTube videos that Chabad's starting putting out about the Ruach HaKodesh and the miracles that the Lubavitch Rebbe did. And if we have time, I think next time we'll do a part two about the Lubavitch Rebbe. But today I wanted to focus on a different Rebbe who clearly had Ruach HaKodesh, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu. Okay? Who is Rav Mordechai Eliyahu? The guy who we saw in the hospital. There's also a picture of him upstairs. It's this guy. One of the reasons I'm reading about him specifically is because he only passed away 6 years ago. So it's very recent. And his son, who tells many of these stories, is someone I know personally. He's someone I can give you his number. You can call him tonight. He's a real person. He's a chief rabbi of Tzfat. He's a very, very nice person. And so, in other words, hopefully it gives a little bit more legitimacy because you could actually go up to this person and ask, did this really happen? And it's not a Bava Maaseh from 300 years ago. Yeah? And all the people in this book, they always give a name, basically, or almost always give a name for who it happened to. So you could literally call the person up and like track them down and say, did this actually happen? Right? And they can tell you yes or no. Right? And there's not one or two stories here. This is a six set volume about Mordechai Eliyahu. Now, just to be clear, most of this book is not miracle stories. Most of this book is the more important thing, which is what a righteous person he was and how we can learn from him and the Torah learning he did and the kindness he did and what a mensch he was and what an awesome person. That's much more important, to be honest. But for my purposes, because I'm just trying to prove my point about Ruach HaKodesh, there's also a lot of interesting stories here about how he had this Ruach HaKodesh. He had this divine spirit. Okay? So he himself is a fascinating personality. He was a chief rabbi of Sephardim in Israel from 1983 to 1993. He died in 2010. And there's many, many, many stories still coming out about all the miracles that he did. So without further ado, I'll share a few. Just a few of the hundreds that are out there. Okay. Where do I start? Okay, let's start with this one because I'm on this page. Dr. Ahuva Nissan tells the following story. After Sukkot, I was told that the Rebbetzin of Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was doing like a bracha night. So I went to the house of the Rebbe and I prepared 14 different names so that the rabbi would look at the names of these people and bless these people. Just looking at the names. Following? So in the middle, on the 11th petek, on the 11th name, happened to be my daughter, said Dr. Ahuva Nissan. The Rav looks at all the notes. When he gets to the note of my daughter, amongst all 14, he lifts up his head, turns to me and says, this year. I said, what are you talking about? He says, this year she'll be pregnant. After a few minutes, I got home and I was really excited. I said, Rav Eliyahu says that this year you're going to marry it. And my daughter looks at me and says, I'm already pregnant. Here's the ultrasound. I thought that was really too scary. How the heck would Rav Mordechai Eliyahu know that unless he had privy to some other information? Let's keep going because that's only one story. Maybe it was a coincidence.
Maybe he saw her already pregnant.
Maybe. Okay, let's keep going.
Maybe he was a doctor.
I think he's a little busier than that.
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Let's do a different type of story. Okay, this one's pretty crazy. It happened to Naomi Knobel, who was the secretary of the Rebbe in the Rabbanut. So she says that she saw many, many, many miracles that happened, too many to even talk about. But this one happened to her personally, so she's going to share the story. She has a child, and this child had a severe stomach ache one day. And it was so bad that they rushed him to the hospital. Now,
her husband?
You know, her son had a big, bad stomach ache.
Yeah.
Suddenly, the doctors decided that this is like appendicitis or something to that extent, and they needed to do an emergency surgery. Or else it's going to explode and it's being really bad. Something similar happened to me, actually. Anyway, so right, her Rebbe, of course, was Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, and she called Rav Mordechai Eliyahu maybe to get a bracha, to ask what to do. Rav Mordechai Eliyahu gets on the phone and says, "Hayelet shecha lo tzarich nitoch, your son doesn't need a surgery." She's like, what? Like, all the doctors are telling me, you don't even see him. Like, what are you talking about? She's completely confused. And she says, excuse me, Rav, what are you talking about? Can you just give me a bracha? And she says, Kibu bracha liyat, you should have a bracha. But he doesn't need a surgery. It's a mistake. That was it. And he hung up the phone. She says she's never been more confused in her life. Her son's in like mortal danger, but her Rebbe, who she believes in, like, is telling her not to get the surgery. She's completely confused. They're about to do the surgery. She doesn't know what to do with herself. Right at that moment, another professor happens to walk in to the doctor, to the hospital. And he takes a look at the child and he says, let me feel him. And he says the following, absolutely do not do a surgery. It'd be silly to cut him up for no reason. He has nothing. It's Tom a bellyache because he had some bad food. Don't do the surgery without a picture. Take a picture. There's nothing there. So, as you probably can guess, he took a picture and there was nothing there. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, having zero information prior to that, somehow Naomi Knobel testifies, knew that this child did not need a surgery and everything was okay. Got it? Story number two. Mordechai Eliyahu craziness. Okay. Let's keep going. We're trying to do this one's not exactly Ruach HaKodesh, but it's in a way even crazier. I heard a similar story about the Baba Sali. Once, we this is Rav Ezra Scheinberg tells the story. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Tzfat. Once all the students are sitting and Rav Mordechai Eliyahu was telling gadol stories, like we're doing, right? Telling stories about the greatness of the spiritual masters in the past. And after one of the stories, he said, this particular story is not for the Rabbim. It's only between us. Don't let people know. It's too much. So we said, but Rav, we're recording this year, right? So he said, and Bezek Klum, there's nothing there. Don't worry about it. So we're like, what do you mean, and Bezek Klum? Like, we're recording the shiur. What does that mean? After the Rav left and finished the shiur, we took out the tape recorder to listen to the shiur. And guess what? That part of the story was erased. All the other stories were there, but that particular part of the tape recorder no longer was there, and Rav Scheinberg says he keeps this tape to remind him of the crazy powers that the Rav had. That's a pretty crazy story, right?
They don't really know the story, that like particular.
They
part.
Didn't tell us. Well, he didn't publicize the story because apparently
it wasn't for the Rav.
Apparently, it wasn't. So I'm curious after we listen to this year if that story will still be on the tape recorder or not. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? Okay. And speaking of stories that are not to be recorded, so in the beginning of this book, I was reading his whole book to review. It's very fine. So there's a story that he's
from cover to cover.
Not cover to cover, but I skipped. So this story, Rav Scheinberg again, says the Rav forbid him to tell this story when he was alive. He said, when I'm alive, you cannot share this story. But I guess when he passed away, he allowed the story to be told to inspire people so they would, you know, believe in such a thing as Ruach HaKodesh. So I'm allowed to tell the story. But this is what happened. A lady comes to the house and she says, oh, she has all sorts of tzaras. She has bad things happening. And there's, you know, shalom bayis, blah, blah, blah. So the Rav turns to Rav Scheinberg, his like trainee, and says, no, what do you think? So Rav Scheinberg says, what do I think? What does the Rav think? Right? You're the guy with Ruach HaKodesh. So Rav says, no, you, what do you think? He says, maybe there's a problem with mezuzahs. You know, we all know that mezuzahs sometimes affect our shalom bayis and things like this. So before, the woman's outside of the room. All she said is she described her tzaras. The Rav takes a piece of paper and starts drawing up her entire house. And she puts every single door, and then she points out, right there, there's no mezuzah. Rav Eliyahu points out. And then Rav Scheinberg goes and asks, indeed, like, oh, do you have any mezuzahs in your house? And is there a place, maybe, what about in your kitchen? And she's like, oh, I didn't know you needed a mezuzah in the kitchen. And that was the end of the story. So, in other words, without knowing, he could literally picture the entire house and know where the mezuzah was. It's pretty crazy. There's another story in here. Tell me, guys, when you're burnt out and you feel like, okay, we get it. Okay, there's another story. His driver, Roni, tells many, many crazy stories. He would drive him from place to place. So Roni says that the Rav could literally look at someone and know if they had gone to the mikveh that day or not, and if they had davened shacharis that day or not. And that the Rav would actually greet people with a different phrase based on if they had, you know, davened shacharis or not, just by looking at them. I don't think he did the tefillin strap mark move. Like, he literally just, like, looked at them and said, oh, Safra Namara, or like, just by looking at them, he knew.
Isn't that a bit condescending?
No, he didn't do it in a bad, either way, he was positive and happy. It was just like, he would use a different phrase. And the reason he would do it probably is because you're not supposed to greet someone before davening as after davening. You're not supposed to say Boker Tov, you say Safra Namara Tova. You're not supposed to say Shalom Aleichem halachically. But he would know that without even, like, without asking them. He would just know, just by taking a look at their face. Like, stories like they tell about the Arizal, that you can just look at a person's face and know what's going on. They had that with Ramona Chalia. Another, probably even crazier story with Roni, where once Roni was wanted to switch his daughter out of a certain gan. And Rav Eliyahu felt it wasn't the right decision. It would insult the gan keeper because she didn't have enough parnasa, blah, blah, blah. This is a little argument between them. And that he decided he's going to switch his kid out of the gun. And that night, he had a dream. And who came to him in his dream? Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, who's alive. And Rav Mordechai Eliyahu says, don't take her out of the gun. So then Roni was like freaked out. So Roni goes up to Rav Eliyahu when they're driving that day and says, Harav, what should I do? Should I take my gun or not? I'm a little confused. And Rav just like, do what I told you in the dream.
That's
not the only story. There are many, many stories about how Rav Mordechai Eliyahu would come to people in their dreams, even meet them in the heavenly courts. Even like when people are in near-death experiences, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu would go to the heavenly throne. We're talking about somebody who lived 6 years ago. Not like a million years ago there was a man. No, this is real stories told by real people who live today.
How about last night?
By Roni Levi, the Nag of the Rav. All right. A lot of these stories are crazy.
Can I say a story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe?
Yeah. Tell a story.
So, there's this lady that she's actually blind and whatever. She's a lot of health problems. I've been helping her out, doing some chesed for her, and she told me that for a while she was constantly arguing with her dad over whether or not she was going to make Aliyah. And her dad was totally not into it, and he kept on refusing. He was like, I do not want you to go to Israel. I do not want everybody to move out there, because if you move, all my kids are going to move. So one night in a dream, This is during while the Lubavitcher Rebbe was alive, and he came up to her dad in a dream and was just like, let her go. And he like didn't know what was going on. He like kind of, he was sleeping and he was just like, what is going on? And she was like, and Lubavitcher Rebbe was just like, let her go. And the next morning he wakes up and he calls her and he's like, go to Israel. That's it. And the whole family's now in Israel. Thank God. Yeah, pretty crazy. This is like a person I know. Yeah, it's wild.
There's many, many crazy stories about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And I'll just share another one. While we're on the topic of Lubavitcher Rebbe, so there was a man. This story, you could actually see the person who tells the story if you go on YouTube. Right? Lubavitcher Rebbe Miracle Stories. There's like 10 really good stories there. The guy tells the story himself. And basically, he was having heart troubles, really, really bad heart troubles. And we had to go to the doctor, and they basically were thinking about doing a blood transfusion. And then he went on Sundays, the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to give people a bracha. And on Sunday, the wife went and got a bracha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe for Refuah Shleima. So the surgery was necessary in order to save this person's life on, I think, like Monday morning, something like that. So late.
It was just a complete recycling of the blood. You showed me the video.
Right. A complete recycling of the blood. No, that's the end of the story. Hold on, right? That's what he. Oh, they needed
to. They recycled the blood. Yeah.
Right, just to save his life, and then basically, the Lubavitcher Rebbe calls his wife up in the middle of the night and says, check the tefillin. And all the Lubavitcher Rebbe knew was like, this, pray for this person. That's it. And somehow he calls him up in the middle of the night and says, check the tefillin. You need to check the tefillin. And he was like really scared. So they get it to the sofa really quick. And they check the tefillin. And they realize that the bet of Alav Avecha was opposite or something, like upside down. Yeah. So the sofa quickly fixes it. And basically, the doctors come in to do the full blood transfusion to save this person's life in this emergency situation, and they see there's nothing there. He's completely good. He's completely healed. There's a lot of crazy stories about.
I've seen the video. You literally just watch him tell his own story.
Yeah, it's like so it's cool. Not like a bubble. It's like it happened to him.
And what were
the bed of Levavecha, of your heart. Of your heart. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of crazy stories. All right. One more story, and then I happy to schmooze afterwards. People have questions. People have any questions, but I don't want to go super long because people might want to, I don't know, steig others for him. Now that we know
about it.
Exactly. But I'll just end with one of my favorite Gadol Ruach HaKodesh stories about the Sfat Emet. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter, who lived in the 19th century, Hasidic Rebbe. I'm sure you've heard of his Sefer, the Sfas Emes. Very, very popular Hasidic Sefer. And nice story that when he was in Russia, the Sfat Emet, was one of the Geru Rebbes. Okay? And he lived in Russia, and at the time, of course, there was a draft, and no Jews wanted to go to the Russian army. When they were drafted, it basically meant the end of their ability to practice Yiddishkeit, and it was terrible conditions. And so everyone was trying to get out of the army, but there was a draft. So there's one Jew who is not very scared and comes to the Rebbe for a bracha. And the Rebbe has the yechidus with him and said, Rebbe, please give me a bracha that I don't have to go to the army. Please give me a bracha. And the Rebbe says, take this sefer, learn it, and he was on to the next person. And he was like, please, please. No. The Rebbe, the guy look at the sefer. It's a sefer about Brit Milah. He has no idea what that had to do with anything. Life goes on. He gets drafted to the army. Meanwhile, everyone in his unit is a complete slob. But the only person who actually kept clean and orderly and knew what he was doing was this Jew. This Jew was a very orderly person. Like, kind of the opposite of me in the army. So this guy, one day a big general comes in and he sees that the barracks are completely up and all over the place. And he's like, what is going on here? The commander's like, yeah, but there's this one guy, this Jew, even though he's a Jew, he actually keeps he's a really good soul. He knows what he's doing. Why don't you go visit him? He's a good dugma. So the guy says, great, I want to visit this Jew. So he goes over to the Jew and says, Jew, is it true that you don't eat the food on the base here? The czar wants you to eat and be healthy. And he takes out a gun. Says, Jew, is that true? And the Jew, this guy, says, more with anger than fear, I don't fear the czar, I fear God. I'm not going to eat non-kosher. Says, Jew, is it true that you keep Shabbat? That the czar wants you to work for the army and you're taking a day off? Is that true, Jew? And he loads it. And the guy says, I'm not scared of you. I serve God. I don't serve the czar. And he takes the gun and he puts down the gun. And takes him to a side room and he says, good, listen, I'm Jewish too. And the truth is, I kind of forgot about all my Judaism. I worked my way up in the army. But I had a kid. I just had a baby. And I don't know why, but something inside of me really wants to do a Brit Milah. I know that Jews are supposed to be a Brit Milah, and I don't really know anything about it, but I know one thing. So the person who cuts the Brit Milah, he has to keep kosher and he has to keep Shabbos. So when I found out there was a Jew here, I wanted to make sure he really keeps kosher and really keeps Shabbos. So that's why I did that to you. But listen. So listen, do you know how to do a Brit Milah? So the guy said, that's why this is how Samus gave me the safer. Goodbye. And the guy says, as a reward for you keeping, for doing a Brit Milah, I'll give you civilian clothing and you can go home. The Sfas Emes was looking at the Sfas Emet. The Sfas Emes. Now, you leave Alter, one of the greatest Hasidic Rebbes. And Gavalt, he was looking out for this guy years later. Yeah. Yeah. Baruch Hashem. So, anyways, I'll finish off saying every day, David HaMelech, we say in Tehillim 51, Al Tashlichenu Milfanecha, don't throw before me. Don't throw me before me. Beruach kadshecha al titach mimeni. And don't take away my Ruach HaKodesh. In other words, David HaMelech is saying, I had Ruach HaKodesh, please don't take that away from me. Ruach HaKodesh, the Lubavitch Rebbe, is something that every individual person, everyone here, it's possible to attain. Not just a million years ago, but it's something that anyone can attain, and everyone can go up and everyone can go down. It's completely dependent on your actions. And in fact, I believe all of our life is completely dependent on how much we reach out to God, is how much we will feel God's presence in our life. So is the point of this year literally that we should all walk away with Ruach HaKodesh? Probably not. But you can pray for it and you never know. That would be great. But I guess the point that I'm trying to make is that if the system works, in other words, if we see that there are a few people who seem to clearly have this thing, Ruach HaKodesh, then maybe the system of getting there works. And maybe the Torah, which describes how to get this whole Torah system, actually is accurate and not just above a Maisa and not just a cute thing. Or unless all of these stories are just made up and there's some crazy conspiracy going on and all these rabbis are getting together to make up all these stories about Baba Chorev and Mordechai Eliyahu, which I guess is possible. But to me, it seems much more likely like this thing actually works. And it's another small indication, a small push to me that helps, that strengthens my emunah in the Holy Torah. Is that everybody got that? Okay. Any questions? We're all good? Everything makes sense? Okay, wonderful. So next week, Bezrat Hashem, although you guys are away, so I guess in 2 weeks we will resume with another super spiritual fun topic, and we'll throw in some more Lubavitch Rebbe miracle stories just for fun, because you guys are away next week. You're away next week. So next week